Hello, people of the internet. How's it going today? How you doing? I'm Billy Bones, and this is a walk through the mind, a moment where we can sit down, hang out, chit-chat, discuss a handful of ideas that have been bouncing around inside my head. See if we can't take those ideas for ourselves and go out and get the conversation started with friends, family, person you meet on the street. Or maybe we just get those gears turning within our own head and see where it takes us. So I've been digging into the climate change topic again, dipping my toes into the greater sphere of what's going on. And I dipped my toes. I started off by watching Al Gore's movie, An Inconvenient Truth, from 2005. Not a terrible movie when you look at it for what it is. A little bit of light the fire under your ass to get you moving kind of scenario. And then I came across another movie, Planet of the Humans. Kind of went not necessarily the opposite direction, but raised a lot of questions. The first one being, for me at least, what responsibility do we have on the big polluters of today? This simple, equivocal notion would be that we have the cigarette companies that have to run commercials saying that their product is bad and terrible and will give you cancer and make you die, which probably is true. Seems to be a little bit of science out there on that. Seems to be a little bit of science in how they like to cover things up, and I'm sure the same goes for the big oil companies, seeing as that's the main target of the green movement. Fossil fuels are killing us. And again, I got no problem talking about pollution. I think it's a better topic to communicate under rather than the banner of climate change, even though that seems to be one and the same in the talking points. But what are manufacturers, power supply, people doing to offset their polluting ways? And I'm not talking about carbon credits. Carbon credits is just something kind of silly to me right now. Oh, we paid this other bill so that way we can pollute today. That just doesn't seem logical to me, but it's okay. I'm not in marketing. We have plenty of cars, or at least car companies. We got GM saying by 2035 they'll have an all-electric selection of vehicles. Volvo is doing so even sooner. I think they may even have already begun their full electric vehicle selection. No more gas power from Volvo or upcoming GM. They see the market forces. They see what everybody's worried about. And under a form of transportation, it's fantastic. No immediate pollutants as you use the product. No more nitrous oxide coming out of a tailpipe polluting the air. Still got disc brake dust, but that's not causing global warming. But all around, we're talking about, all around the U.S. at least, probably around the world, not as tuned in as I should be. But the two big main talking points are wind and solar. Wind and solar, green energy. And under the immediate production of the energy, of the electricity, the byproduct is nil. There's no byproduct of creating the energy at the point of creation. Let me talk in circles a little bit more. But the sun doesn't always shine and the wind doesn't always blow. Same old talking points, right? But they're there. They're available. I see them as a moderate solution, diversifying our portfolio. But again, what happens? What is the footprint? The carbon footprint minus the carbon credits, building all of those. I mean, there's a lot of concrete and whatnot to build and sustain one of those windmills. That seems to be a rather big investment. How much energy is used to create said concrete? Wind and solar aren't necessarily creating enough power to generate those situations. What kind of repair schedules do we look at? Little stop gaps to make sure that the power is always there. It's rather consistent. When we look at wind and solar, those are in theory there to charge batteries so that way it can be used later, hold that store of energy, Because when the wind blows, it's not usually when you need it. And when you do need it, the wind doesn't blow. And then when it does blow, sometimes it blows too hard and you create too much energy. So now you have to disperse all that energy. Otherwise, you'll blow up those batteries. But it's better than coal, right? Granted, you can easily adjust the power requirements for coal. Shovel a little bit more in or shovel a little bit less in. Same with dams. Control the flow of water to spin the turbines. Nuclear. How far the rods are dipped into the cooling solution to produce the power. A little bit of mitigation here and there. Balances all out and you have on-demand power. But again, who's pushing for all this? We have a public that is worried, scared out of their wits that the Earth is going to end in 9 months, 3 years, 12 years, 20 years, 50 years, 100 years. I've lost count. But the end is nigh. The sky is falling, and we have to fix this problem today. So we have a massive voice of people coming out and saying things. And that's one thing I garnered from An Inconvenient Truth is that was the point of a political push. I would have clipped it, but Al Gore is boring. Talking about now is the time to gather your more or less political revolutionaries to push this problem or push this concern, this realization that things are going to turn chaotic. It's pretty funny in An Inconvenient Truth. He focuses on India and China weather disasters and a little bit on Katrina. I guess that's neither here nor there. Damage is bigger and more consistent in Asia than it is here. What reason for that? I'm not too sure. Melting polar ice caps and stuff like that. But who's building? That's right. Who is building all these wind turbines? Who's pushing for them? We all know that nothing gets done within the halls of Congress without a little bit of lobbying, a little bit of palms being greased to forward set agenda. And that seems to be one of the bigger highlights of the second movie I watched, Planet of the Humans. Now he goes across all different sorts of power supplies and power sources. One of the debunking videos I watched claimed that too much of his information was old information. And as Michael Moore directed it, I'm sure you can find other reasons to be annoyed. And there's little things that are worth pointing out, but not here, not for the conversation. But one of the biggest green energy solutions that the producer, the main narrator of Planet of the Humans, Jeff Gibbons, a individual who's worried about climate change and protecting the environment, so altruistic, getting his little bit of philanthropy on, more or less, is his concern with biomass fuel. Biomass fuel sounds, it's advertised as green, it sounds, I don't know, okay. And in a nutshell, instead of using coal to power a plant to do whatever it does to create the energy, use wood chips. Doesn't seem like too big of a problem. I mean, people use wood pellets to heat their home. It's kind of on the same scale of things, except a little bit bigger. Not necessarily always pellets or chips to fuel the thing. And according to some of the people within the video, the local on the ground people who have been paying attention to these biomass places, it's not always just wood chips used. Sometimes it's garbage, shredded tires, or railroad ties, which are full of lovely chemicals to keep those things from rotting, and still qualifies as a green source of energy, renewable, because we can always grow more trees. And so it seems like a question worthy of pondering and seeing if that's really the answer to things. But it gets us off coal, right? We're no longer digging up a mountain. All we're doing is, at least as it's advertised, taking the excess from trees when we create furniture and paper and whatever else and burn that. Granted, we ship a lot of the extra bits. There's a lot more biomass in the UK or in Europe. In the United States, exports a fair bunch of trees on boats across the ocean. But who pushes for this? Again, we're getting off coal. We're not tearing up mountains. We're not destroying everything. We have lobbying groups out there pushing for green. One group is called Beyond Coal. They even signed up with Bloomberg to get some funding started, get the ball rolling, to push for this new biomass fueling source for electricity. Again, who is shaking hands with who to get the message across, to get the push going? As an example, a clip from Planet of the Humans, the Green Century Fund, people that you have helped back you and support you, get the ball rolling for funding.
In the Green Century Funds, recommended by 350.org and Bill McKibben, I found less than 1% solar and wind, and 99% things like mining, oil and gas infrastructure companies, including a tar sands exploiter, McDonald's, one of the companies driving meat consumption across the planet, Archer Daniels Midland, one of the world's largest producers of biofuel, Coca-Cola, the largest creator of plastic pollution on Earth, logging and paper companies, including one that brags about biomass burning, and banks, lots of banks, including BlackRock, the largest financer of deforestation on Earth.
So it comes back to a worthy question of what are the big companies doing to right their wrong? And as dire of a picture as that clip paints, fossil fuel industries want to be able to fix things. They want to be able to right their wrong, supposedly. Solar and wind companies, well, I mean, why would they invest in the same thing that they're trying to build and create? Banks obviously need their recompense, their interest payments, so of course they're willing to invest in something as long as there's a positive return. McDonald's in there? I don't know. I don't know where the purpose of the meat comes in, but I mean, McDonald's did get rid of the styrofoam containers from back in the day. But biomass companies, people involved with that and the removal of trees and whatnot, kind of goes hand in hand when you're investing in something that will make you money. So in an attempt to fix the problem, why not be profitable on this other side as well? We don't start a company to lose money. Most of us, at least. But he also mentioned in there Bill McKibben. Bill McKibben gets raked over the coals in this movie, Planet of the Humans. And he's the founder of 350.org. He did a lot of big pushes for biomass fueling, burning of organic material to create electricity. And even then, we can be questionable about his donors. When we start chasing that question abound when... Granted, I'm sure this was early on when he was asked about it, but where do you get your funding from, Mr. McKibben?
How is 350.org funded?
Well, not very well.
Who are your funders?
Sure. To the degree that we have any money at all, it's come from a few foundations in Europe. And U.S. Let's see. I'm trying to think who the biggest funders are. There's a foundation based in Sweden, called the Rasmussen Foundation, that I think has been the biggest funder.
So you don't get money from Pew or Rockefeller or any of those big
foundations? Rockefeller Brothers Fund gave us some money right when we were starting out. That's been useful too.
But they no longer fund you?
I don't know. I don't have a sort of
really
funder sitting in front of me.
Something that people know.
Rockefeller's been one of is a great ally in this fight.
Now I just find that clip to be damning. When you look at the source of the funding, it's like, why be ashamed of it? Why hide it? And if you're the head honcho, you should at least have a general grasp. And especially when he's able to easily recall afterwards that the Rockefeller Foundation, good or bad, the name has some negative connotations, but at the same time, it's be proud of your funding sources. If this is how you're going to get your message out, this is how you're going to do it and do your deal with the devil and move on. But who's pushing it, right? Who's getting that message out there? And is it all just for green fantastic energy, or is it a means to make a profit, as I continue to play clips from the movie?
Of course, one investment option is a green fund run by Bill McKibben's buddy, David Blood. And who was the chairman of this fund? Someone familiar.
Use capitalism that gives incentives for people to do their best.
Al Gore and David Blood partnered to form a company called Blood and Gore. No, scratch that. Generation Investment Management. And within this fund, Blood and Gore designated a special investment category targeting $650 million of biomass and biofuels. Funny thing was, they partnered before Al Gore's film came out.
The film came out in 2005, and they partnered in July of 2004. So it almost sounds like a promo reel. Granted, Al Gore was doing that speech, I believe he said, at least for a year or two before the actual recording. So maybe that's a little bit of a wash in this hit piece of a movie. This means to attack and at least inform on some level of the things that are going on. Can it be so deplorable, depreciative, to make a proper investment to see something as needing to change and making some money? Were you not allowed to make money in the process of the change of the switch? But it's become so much more than just a little bit of money, a little bit of extra cash on the side. It's been a hardcore push. Like I said at the beginning of this, everybody, the sky is falling. I got no problem talking about pollution, poor sources of energy, and trying to figure out and fix, find the new way. But we can't just all switch to electricity 100% of the time and be okay with it. I mean, Toyota, the maker of fantastic miles per gallon cars, and Honda even. I mean, you want some miles to the gallon. Those are the two brands to go with, especially with Toyota with their Prius, one of the best-selling eco cars. Granted, Nissan has the all-electric Leaf, but the Prius has a little generator, a little gas generator in it, which offers the best of both worlds between gas and electric. But Toyota has warned again, raised the point that we shouldn't be electrifying the entire fleet of vehicles throughout the entire world without better infrastructure. That's more... Is that, again, them doing their due diligence, or are they hedging their bets? What are they doing to fix this pollution problem, this climate change problem? We can want all the green energy that we want, gathering with all these people, teaming up, but the grid can't handle it. So we have all these people investing in more and more green energy, but no more consistent, regular power. When you plug your car in at night in your home, you're using power off of the grid. Where is your grid power sourced from? Is it coal? Is it nuclear? Dams? Wind and solar? And just because your local power company says, oh, it's 100% renewable, is it biomass? How much power are they siphoning off of neighboring counties or states to supply that power to you? Is your county, city, or whatever running, or at least have the capacity to run all the windmills at full capacity of the windmills? It creates enough power for all the households. And so that's how they qualify as 100% renewable or green. And again, who's teaming up with who as we bounce back and forth and all around, tumbling around in the mind today? The Sierra Club, another target in the Planet of the Humans movie, a group that pushes for the sustainable and renewable energy. Their hands seem to be pretty clean, at least from what I gathered. But it's one of their partners, Viva, who I believe is, not Viva, Aspiration, which closed its doors after the movie came out, Planet of the Humans. That seems to be pretty damning. But Sierra Club partnered with Aspiration, who in turn partnered with Monsanto, Dow DuPont, Halliburton, Wells Fargo, Chevron, Exxon, Russian gas giant Gazprom. Are these lobbying groups supporting a green future? Are they looking for the best option of renewables and green energy? Or are they staying one step ahead and just kind of funneling us where they want us to go, thinking that we have the best solutions, where it almost becomes a wash with the amount of energy used to create the solar panels or the wind turbines, just to create them. Let's not talk about repairs. As long as the green sources of energy in their lifetime produce significantly more than it took to create them. If it takes one unit of energy, I guess that's a little bit too small. If it takes 10 units of energy, 10 calories to build a windmill, and over the course of 15, 20 years, they only produce 10 calories, I don't think that's a fair trade-off. If they create 8 calories over 15 years, that's definitely not a good trade-off. But if after 15 years they produce 15 calories, I think we're doing something right. Should be doing something a little bit better. That offset debt is a little bit too long-term, but it still exists. But then again, if we build 10 windmills, it gives us 100 calories, and we decide to burn off those calories over the next 10, 15 years. How many more calories are you consuming in the meantime before you decide to work off those 100 calories? But if we can get those 10 calories burned off in energy production, energy paying for itself, it won't be one-to-one. Coal, hydroelectric, natural gas, all have a much quicker burn rate. Create those 10 calories, and within less than a year, that energy has paid for itself and burned itself off. Might be some residual after effects. Instead of eating 10 calories in apples, you eat 10 calories in candy bars. A little bit different intake, but I think it's easy enough to compare. But if we can burn those calories off instead of 10 years or 15 years, if we can offset that within 5 years, that'd be fantastic. But then we're still back to batteries. Recycling of batteries for cars is about to be a huge market. Hope you got your investments ready. There's an article in Wired in the show notes talking about the need to figure out how to recycle batteries. You recycle them in one giant batch and you get two or three of the main ingredients back. Or if you go through a longer, slower process, you get more and more battery materials back, main materials, just in how you cook and skim off different weighted metals. But what's the energy offset for that? Granted, we don't have to mine for new materials, but definitely takes a fair amount of electricity, fair amount of natural resources, and other things like acid to break apart and separate everything to get what you put in back out. Now, granted, it's not carbon particulates in the air, not carbon dioxide. Won't have that conversation. Carbon particulates, we can talk about that. Particulate matter in the air. There's less of that in the air, but it still needs to be broken down. We built it. It's not going to degrade naturally. And with the increase of the car market going to electric, need those lithium ion batteries. All of our cell phones and smart technology and rechargeable batteries are all lithium ion right now. That takes some mining. And even though it's a saltwater brine that you just kind of cook off and whatnot, there's still an ecological damage to that that can come up from that. More in the show notes for you to just stumble in, take a gander through that of the Institute for Energy Research. But where we go from here is just another conversation. It's just talking points. Where we go is where you go. Where these ideas, these talking points take you, lead you. Did it get you to look into something? Did it get you to open your mind to a new possibility or a new idea? Maybe not. I bounced around a little bit today. But that's okay. It's just a walk through the mind. With me, your host, Billy Bones, BILLYBON, 3S. You find me on Twitter, or gab at Billy Bones, spelled the same way with the number 3 instead of an E. You can yell at me and say, yeah, it's too much. Stay on topic. Maybe you don't have those. Maybe you're on Mastodon, the Fediverse. You can find me at BillyBones@NoAgendaSocial.com. Or you can go so far as just to go to the website, BillyBones.com. Again, spelt the same way. And there you will find links to past episodes, which will include show notes. You will find a means to get in contact with me through the social media, but also through Discord and email. And this is a value for value podcast. If you found value out of this episode or any of the previous ones I've done, fantastic. I'm glad you have. Thank you. First thing I ask that you do is you give the show a share. Maybe someone else finds their own little talking point, their means to start the conversation. But if you found monetary value out of this podcast, if you think it is worth a couple shekels, again, go to the website, BillyBones.com. You scroll all the way down, and there's a value for value button that'll take you to PayPal. Click that link. You donate whatever your time was worth of listening to whatever I had to offer. And I love you guys. I'll talk to you next week. Keep on the up and up.